The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to all of you joining us in person, online, and over the airwaves. We're glad you're worshiping with us. For our listeners, remember to visit our website where you can find the bulletin for today's worship services under the Worship tab, as well as our May newsletter, which is under the Media tab. Our website address is www.trinitypreslbg.com. For our in-person congregation, please sign the attendance pads found in the pew pockets at the center end of each pew. Please pass the pad down to others sitting on the same pew. We are collecting boxes of cake mix and cans of frosting for church community services as they prepare meal boxes in honor of Mother's Day. Today at 4 p.m., Laurinburg Presbyterian Church is hosting a trumpet and piano concert. All are invited. There will be two informational meetings this evening pertaining to the Israel trip that Elizabeth Blair's husband is organizing. If you are interested, you can attend either meeting. They are being held at 5 p.m. at Hamlet First United Methodist Church and 7 p.m. at Pembroke First United Methodist Church. Please note our weekly calendar of events in your bulletin. The bookmobile will be in our parking lot Tuesday at 10 a.m. Bible study with Pastor Jim will meet on Tuesday at Scotia Village at 6:30. The school board will meet Wednesday at 5:45. Trinity Singers will meet on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. The Finance Committee will meet on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We will have our monthly prayer meeting on Saturday at 11 a.m. here in the sanctuary. The youth will host another bake sale next Sunday as they work to raise funds for their week at the Montreat Summer Youth Conference. There's a pre-order sheet located in the narthex for muffins, bread, and whole cakes. Thank you for your support. Today we welcome back Ken Dennison and thank her for leading us in musical worship. Jim, do you have any other announcements?
Yeah, thank you, Susan. Just a couple of things. Today was the first Sunday of the month, and it was the day for the men's breakfast. And any of you men out there that haven't come, man, it is one of the best breakfasts you'll ever get. All the things that Southerners like that are so good for you. Lots of pork and biscuits and grits and all these guys who work so hard, get up early and do it. It's a great, great breakfast. And first Thursdays of the month, your first one is free. After that, it's $5. So, you know, next time we have one, you see it coming, come. It's really fun. And we talk, I think today was mostly baseball and hockey, right? Right. But it's fun. So I hope you'll go to that. The second is just sort of a brand new meeting. I need to meet with the session immediately after worship for just a couple of minutes. So if you would, those of you here who are on the session, if you would stay around until I finish greeting people, and then we'll have a very fast meeting. But we just need to do that today. We come now to the passing of the peace, and what we used to do before COVID was run around and hug each other, but we don't do that anymore. And so what we ask, if you're at home and you're listening on the radio or you're listening online, you get out your cell phone and you text three people, the peace of Christ be with you. And then if you receive that text, you text back and also with you. Or if you're real Southern, and also with y'all. And here in the sanctuary, we just stand and wave at each other and say the peace of Christ be with you. So stand and remain standing for the call to worship. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you. All right, remain standing and we'll do the call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. I'll read the light print and you can read the dark print. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled.
We long for God and peace and friendship that renews
Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life.
We seek wisdom that endures and guides for our journey.
Jesus says, where I am, there you may be also.
We come to encounter Christ.
Let us worship our God. Our first hymn is number 475 in the hymn book. It's also there in your bulletin. We're going to just do verses 1, 3, and 5. There's a lot of verses. I greet thee who my sure Redeemer art.
Let go of the demands and pressures of this past week. God calls us, offering rest and renewal. He knows our needs and the cries of our hearts. Let us come to Him in prayer, asking for healing and restoration. Please join in the unison prayer of confession as printed in your bulleton. Holy God, in baptism you claim us as beloved children. And set us apart as witnesses to your love. At times we forget we bear the mark of your grace and act as if you have no claim on our lives. You call us to the risky work of justice and peace, but we default to what is comfortable and safe. You call us to ministries of generosity and compassion, but we make little room in our busy lives for your gestures of mercy beyond moments of spontaneous kindness. Wash us again with your grace and transform us by your word that we might proclaim your good news in word and deed.
Cast me not away from your presence and
And now we'll have a short period of silence for personal confession of sin. Amen. Hear the good news. Our sins and our mistakes and our shortcomings are not the last word about us, and they do not define who we are, but God has called us his children, and together we are the family of God. God has promised that if we confess our sin, as we've just done, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus Christ, we all are forgiven. Amen. Let us be seated. Now we'll have our time with young disciples with Noren Sanford. Noren.
Welcome, welcome. Glad to have you.
I'm going to slide down.
So we welcome everybody who is young and young at heart. So today we're going to be talking about a particular set of scripture from the Gospel of John. And Pastor Jim is going to walk us through there. But we're going to have to begin this time with young disciples with a disclaimer. That it's my job not to get you in too much trouble during these children's moments this morning, because I'm going to be asking, how do y'all clean up your house before you have people over? Now, I'm going to go to my daughter, and now, Jesse, I want to remind you, even though Mom is working at the hospital right now, she is going to listen to this later in the week, so answer carefully. All right, so Jesse, what is a thing that Mom might have us doing before we welcome folks to the house?
Love to put me in the spotlight, yay. She gives us a list of tasks to do.
That is a very kind word, task. So give me an example of a task that we might be doing.
Clean up the den.
Ah, very good, very good. Let's just end that with that. Clean up the den. That's right. All right, now, guys, not to get you or me in trouble with your mom or your grandmother, and we've experienced the amazing hospitality of your grandmother. So what about it? What would one task be that you guys have to do before you have company over?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry, Mom. I know that's not true. Okay. Here we go. Oh, right. So you guys are off the hook. Okay. I got you. While she furiously cleans the house. Because we all clean up when we got company over, don't we? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Well, this is what I want us to think about when we hear this scripture, right? Now, I was talking to Pastor Jim earlier. And when I was much, much younger, which was a long time ago, we often use this scripture to talk about who was not going to be welcomed in heaven, who was not going to be welcomed in heaven. And I want you to hear this scripture today and see how it could be used that way. But now with new ears and eyes, and maybe a couple of years on me now, I realized that this scripture is actually about radical hospitality. It's about welcoming people. It's about how you make a place for folks. And I've got some really good news. This scripture talks about how Jesus himself, God, is making a place for us and will come to us and welcome us home. Now that is a very, very comforting thought. And it has something to say about our time after our life here is past, after our death, but it also has a lot to say about our time here now. And Pastor Jim will be talking about some of that today. So as we consider the radical hospitality of God, and we can take joy in the fact that God and God's self will welcome us home, how does that change our life today? All right, let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being a radically hospitable, welcoming God. Thank you for your love that makes a place for us, that makes a way for us despite ourselves. Lord, help us to be in these troubled times when we don't even know if we will receive civility, much less hospitality, in the approach of a stranger. Help us to remember those millions and millions of acts of hospitality that go on every day that do not make the news. Help us to be part of that radical hospitality that you would call us for. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Noren. And now we'll have our scripture lesson read by Mackenzie Sanford.
This scripture comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it.
You can leave that up, the scripture up, Dave. Just let me do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we've been on your road, some of us for a very long time, and some of us are just getting started. So we pray today that you would help us to hear your call again. That we would be able to trust you with the rest of our journey from where we are right now. So we ask you would take your scripture and touch us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name,
Amen. You know, when Jesus starts out and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," I have a reaction to that. I don't know about you, but it's sort of, well, how do you do that? You know, if I'm troubled, how do I not be troubled? And it's fair. I think particularly today, it's very important to kind of get to the bottom of it, because today is a day of a lot of transitions in our community. You know, as we're speaking right now, commencement is going on at St. Andrews University. And so young people are transitioning from college to what's after college. Their parents' basement, but yeah. But we are all, I'd love for you to think about what your personal transition is right now, what you're dealing with, what you're thinking about. Because I know a bunch of them offhand. And they do the whole spectrum. I know people that are at the end of their life, and that's a transition to what God has next, which is even better. My son Matthew and his wife Hannah are sitting on go for this baby. It's due Saturday. And he calls me up every once in a while and goes, "I don't know, Dad." And I'll go, "You know, Matthew, none of us feel ready. None of us feel like, you know, we're going to be, you know, super dad. You know, you just, the nice thing is it takes a long time. It takes 9 months to get used to the idea of even being a dad. And then you start learning how to do it. And there's everything in between. Mackenzie is going to be going to the School of Math and Science in the fall. That's a new thing. And she's excited about that, and her family's excited. I'm excited. But it's a transition, and it's a real transition for her mom, for her family, too. They all have to get used to that idea. And there's everything in between. This road that we are on, this way that we've been called to, it never stays still. It never stays the same. Even if you're thinking about retirement, there are things that you have to transition. I had a friend just last week had a stroke. He's got to change. His life is changing. How much exercise he can get, what he has to eat, how mobile he can be. That's a transition, and that's a new road that he's going to be on. And in our scripture today, and I'll give you the context of this in a minute, the disciples are about to be a big transition. They just don't know it yet. You know, they think this is a Passover. It's the normal Passover. Jesus is the only one in the room that knows what's about to happen in the next 24 hours. So just so you'll know where we are, this 14th chapter of John, but they are in the upper room, and they have had the Last Supper, and Jesus has washed their feet. He even washed Judas's feet that night, even though he knew what was about to happen. Isn't that something? And then they had the meal, and he says, "One of you is going to betray me," and go do it quickly, and then Judas left. And so now the disciples are basically thinking that Jesus went to get the preparations for the Passover, because they're going to, you know, they all have to go inside for Passover. And so when Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," I wonder if some of them are sitting there going, "What? What do you mean? We're not, this is great. This is our group. We're together. We're having Passover together." They don't know. And so Jesus is telling them what they need to know for what's about to happen. And you go back, just go back to the very first time he called them, all right? Just the fishermen, for instance. That was a transition too. They had to lay down their nets and go follow down that road and to trade things that were familiar for things that were unknown. They didn't know what was going to happen. And I think that's key to these transitions we're in right now, is that we are going from the familiar to the unknown. And Jesus knew that night, if you push it forward in time to this night right here, Jesus knew, man, they are clueless. They have no idea what's about to happen. And so he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." You're going to go from what's familiar to what's unknown. And so this is where this starts. Now, when Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," Jesus was troubled some of the time. I just thought I was seeing that, and I was going, just two chapters earlier, chapter 12, 27, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." And then verse 27 or 12, he says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it's for this reason that I have come into the world." So Jesus was troubled. And then the next chapter, 13, he's talking to the disciples, and he said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." And this is verse 21 of 13. And after saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." So Jesus was troubled. So it's obviously, since Jesus was without sin, being troubled is not a sin, because Jesus was troubled. But what he's doing here for us, and you think, I hope you've identified your transition right now, is he is telling us how to not let our hearts be troubled. And if he says let, that means we have some control over our trouble, our troubling, how troubled we are. Don't let it. Don't let your heart be troubled. And this is where I get a little frustrated with it, because I think, well, dude, I get, you know, if I'm troubled, I'm troubled. You know, and it's kind of like going, don't worry. Well, I'm kind of worried about not worrying now. And this, what this becomes, it becomes kind of a conversation. So Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." So there's almost like a pause there where somebody goes, well, how can we do that? How can we not let our hearts be troubled? And Jesus says, okay, one way, believe in God and believe in me. And this whole speech really is going to be about how he is God. Yeah, he is the Father. So he's trying to get them. And, okay, this is probably further down in the weeds than you want to go with the Bible, but I'll tell you anyway. In Greek, you learn Greek pretty early. You know, it's the first thing you do in seminary. They give you the Gospel of John because it's the easiest one. The guy who wrote it was not a native Greek speaker, so he didn't have a lot big vocabulary. So anyway, those of you who know English grammar know that there is something called the imperative. Believe. It's a command. Believe in me. And then there's something called the indicative mood, which is you believe. You believe in me. In Greek, those two are identical. You have to guess. So right there, it could say you believe in God, you also believe in me. And some translations do it that way. And it could be any combination. You say believe in God, you believe also in me. Or it could say you believe in God. This one I like. You believe in God, believe in me. That one makes more sense to me. Believe in me. And so that's kind of the part of the solution to not letting your heart be troubled. Because another way to say it is have faith in me. You have faith in God. Have faith in me too. That's one way to not let your heart be troubled. Have faith in me. Easier said than done. And so you almost wonder, what's the conversation continues. And then Jesus does this whole thing, "My Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go ahead and change the slide. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will," can you change the slide? There it is. "Take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Now here's where it gets interesting. "And you know the way to the place that I'm going." And Thomas, where would we be without Thomas? Thomas is the one who says what we think, right? He's the show me state. It's like, let me ask what I want to ask. And Thomas says, "Hold up. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Now, that is the most sensible thing anybody could say. You know, Jesus is taught, and they've had to kind of rein Jesus in a few times too. You know, Jesus gets rolling, and they got to come back a little bit and explain this to us. But Jesus is already talking about heaven and everything. And Thomas is just like, "Oh, wait a minute. We don't know where you're going." And they don't. They do not know. They don't know he's going to be crucified. within 24 hours. And it's going to be just them. And they've got to leave what's familiar for things unknown. They're going to have to do stuff. It's going to be very uncomfortable. That transition, that road is going to be really uncomfortable. And so when you think about it, we do not know where you're going and how can we know the way there. The best analogy is a very millennial, 21st century analogy, the GPS on your phone. Last weekend, I was down in Conyers and, Dave's dad's funeral. And then on Sunday, I went to the church I'd been a pastor of, Gum Creek Pres. And then afterwards, I was going to go to lunch with some of those folks. And so I had to stop for gas. And they said, well, we'll text you the address of the place. And it's good because Covington, which is the town next to it, Covington now, well, it's been a movie set for a long time. The Dukes of Hazzard was shot in Covington, Georgia. And then after that, when we were there, it was Heat of the Night with Carol Connor. That was shot there. Well, now this thing called Vampire Diaries is shot there. And you drive into this old southern town, and there's hundreds of people walking around like that. And the people I'm with who live there hate it. Tourists. There's hundreds. And I thought, well, yeah, but that'd be really good for business. And they said, yeah, but every time they shoot, they shut down the whole square. They say, okay, you can't, y'all got to close because we're shooting. So they lose all their business. So anyway, I'm at a gas station. My phone jingles, and it has the address of the restaurant. Okay, so that is where we're going. And so I put that address, right? This is what you do. You copy it. And you put it in that GPS, and you put, what do? You hit start, right? And then you see that lovely blue line that tells you the second part. How can we know the way? You have to know where you're going to know the way, right? And so that is what Thomas is just saying. It's what is totally common sense. Lord, what's the address? What's the address so I can get the blue line, so I can know the way? And Jesus says something very opaque back. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now that is really interesting. I am the way. Now, I kind of know that intellectually, but at the transition I'm at right now, it's hard. You have to re-up for it. The first time I decided to be on the way, I was just finished senior year at Scotland High School, and I had learned very early that that it's very hard to please Jim Morgan. And because I would have a girl I wanted to go out with, and somehow we would go out. You know, God softened her heart, and we would go out. And then we would be dating. And then after a while, she's okay, but that girl is the one. And that cycle would go out with that girl, and that she'd be okay after a while. And then, and I realized I couldn't make myself happy. Same thing with guitars, by the way. I would see a guitar I wanted so bad, and my parents would get it for me for Christmas, and I'd play it and play it, and it's okay after a while. And then I see another one. And I would be a rock star if I had that guitar. And so I went to Montreat Youth Conference after my senior year of high school, and there was a guy preaching named Jim Smith, and he said, you don't know yourself well enough to make yourself happy. And I went, absolutely, that is so true. I do not know myself well enough to make yourself happy. He said, but God made you. God knows everything about you. And God knows what will give you fulfillment and peace. So, and this was the key phrase. He said, give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. Say that with me. Give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. And that made so much sense to me. And so they did an altar call in the Anderson Auditorium. I don't think they do that anymore. And everybody went forward. I went out the back and walked around Montreat. And I was saying, okay, God, I'm not even sure you're real, but I'll give as much as I know of myself to as much as I know of you. And so that's what happened. And when I went to Wake Forest, so that was the first transition. That was leaving something that was fairly familiar and going to college. And then when I was at Wake Forest, I got into a Christian fellowship, and I really did not know what God was calling me to in my life. I knew I should have a call. I really didn't know what it was. But I had to declare a major my sophomore year. And Wake Forest was very hard scholastically, and I wasn't making great grades. But I noticed this one thing. We had a varsity football player in our suite, a bunch of freshman guys, and I got to know him and his friends, the other football players. Every single one of them had the same major. The football team's major was anthropology. They said, and I said, why? And they said, are you interested in anthropology? And they went, no, it's just the easiest one in school. We can graduate. We don't flunk out. I thought, down for that. So I majored in anthropology. And I graduated in anthropology, graduated from Wake Forest University in anthropology. I wasn't thinking of going on digs for the rest of my life. But I was really confused. And so I was like, God, what do you want me to do? I knew I was a Christian. I knew I could do music. And so I got to be in a Christian band. But at every transition, when I graduated from college, I had to trust in Christ. I had to trust in God for that transition. And then when I was at the end of being in that music group, should I go to seminary, I had an offer to be in another band that was like a big-time Christian band, which is kind of an oxymoron. And I went to seminary. And then I got married and went to seminary. And every single step of the way, I've left something familiar for something unknown. And that is what Jesus means when he says, I am the way. You aren't going to know all the details in your next transition. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be sad. It's going to be painful in some ways. But you know Jesus. You know the author of creation. And the author of creation is the one that is the way. That Jesus is the way. Whatever else happens in your life, if you're going from working to retiring, if you're going from not having a baby to having a baby, all these things we mentioned, if you are holding hands with Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus, you will find that way. You will drop those nets and you will follow again. And that is what this whole thing is about. Jesus was not going to give them a 6-point answer to that question. You do this first, this first, this. When he says, how can we know the way? And Jesus goes, it's me. I'm the way, man. It's me. If you don't know where to go, it's me. If you don't know what the truth is, alternative facts, it's me. I'm the truth. If you don't know where living is, what life is, where abundance is, life is me. That's all you need to know. It's me. And so that's where we are. All these kids that are graduating in St. Andrews today, Scotland High School, when? Next week? June 9th. Oh, really? Wow. June 9th. They're still working. You know, all of these all of these transitions, all the ones that you're thinking about are based on the way, knowing the way, knowing Jesus. I am the way. And I know people that are listening to this right now who are deep into grief. And so I say this to you. I don't know all the details, but I know that staying in a relationship with Jesus is the way. And one of the old phrases that used to come back to me, two of them. One is, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Now, you can do all this liturgy and everything, but at its core, it's a relationship with a friend who happens to be the author of the universe. And the other thing is that old Four Spiritual Laws track applies to every day in your life. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God really does love you and really does have a plan for starting today to leave these nets and to follow. So I'm going to close with a song that I wrote. A few years ago, I was talking to a friend, and He had just decided to stop working at the church he was at. He was also a musician. And so we were talking, and I was going, man, what are you going to do? And he said, I don't know, man. I'm just on the road to God knows where. And I said, yeah. And then I started thinking about how true that was, that he was on the road to God knows where. He was on that road because God does know. God's seen it. God's seen the next part of your road. So anyway, this song is called Dance Together. We have gathered from far and near. Lord, you've drawn us, you've brought us here. Friends already and friends to be. Sisters, brothers, becoming family. So let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the God knows where. We have troubles, we all have flaws. We are not worthy to heed your call. We cry, leave us, Lord, go away. You say, take my hand and dance with me today. Let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the road to God knows where. So here's the moment distilled in time to leave this fishing, these nets behind. Trade things familiar for things unknown. Lord, we offer up our lives and follow down your road. Let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the road, forever on your road. Dance together down the road to to God knows where. Let's pray together. Oh, thanks. Let's pray together. Lord, our hearts are troubled. We just totally confess that our hearts are troubled. We don't like change any more than your disciples liked it. But help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to hold on to you as the author of the complete story. We only see half the story. Give us courage. Give us faith. Give us healing. Give us strength to walk down that road that only you know about, to route down the road, the way that is you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand as you are able. And now, in response to God's word, let us boldly proclaim what we believe as we affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Now let us join together in our morning prayer. Let us pray. Lord, you know so many of the burdens that our folks are carrying, everyone here today, everyone listening. There are folks who are dealing with deep grief. There are folks who are dealing with deep fear. There are folks who are dealing with deep depression. Let them feel your hand and your presence. Please heal them, give them light, lift them out of this darkness that they're in. For those who are physically hurting, physically trying to heal, Lord, we pray that you would let the healing process be true and sure and good. The doctors make right decisions, that your Holy Spirit would heal us too. We pray for those who are near death, who are coming close to being received into your kingdom. We pray that you would be with them on that journey, that they would feel all our love and all the love of their family and friends. We pray for those who are already experiencing the loss of someone, and we pray that you would give them support, let them find fellowship and a listening ear. Let them find support and hugs. For all those who are transitioning to new schools or transitioning out of school into a new life, be with them. Help them to trust you in that transition. And we pray for Matthew and Hannah that you'd be with them in this next few days, and that you would be with little Miles as he is born. And bless him, Lord, and keep him healthy, and Hannah healthy too. Teach us, O God, to pray as you also taught your disciples, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's time to give our tithes and offering. And ever since COVID happened, we don't pass that germ-filled plate around. So there's a plate at the back that you can give to on your way out, or you can, as most people do, just mail it in. And we appreciate those of you who are on the radio and online for sending in your contributions and tithes too. We really appreciate it. So now let us give to God God's tithe and our offering. Lord, thank you so much for your many gifts to us, and now we give back to you that which is your own, and we dedicate it to your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final hymn is in your hymn book as 526. It's also in the bulletin and projected. It's verses 1 through 4 of For All the Saints.
Faithful.
in peace and remember that it's by the goodness of God that you were born, by the providence of God that you've been kept your whole life long, even to this day, and by the grace of God that we're all redeemed. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and forever. Amen.